Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy and I'm a careers consultant here in DCU Career Service. As part of our series about making the most of your summer, and this summer being 2021, we did a call out to our students in DCU and asked them what they do during the summer of 2020. Maybe something they, you know, started to do that they didn't do before, or something they got more involved with. And I suppose in the challenge of COVID-19 during the summer of 2020, what opportunities did they find for themselves? So I'm joined today by Ruan Bonham, who is a first year economics, politics and law student. And he's on the line today to share with us what he did last summer. And he was actually in sixth year this time last year, Ruan. So life was quite different for you. So you might tell us how COVID, you know, began for you, and I suppose what you ended up then doing last summer.
Well, wow, yeah, I can't believe, imagine that I was in sixth year last year. It's so, like, even
you're all grown up now, Ruan.
Yeah, it's crazy. Back in when we first heard of COVID, I was in Belgium with my orchestra, and when we were in the airport, we all saw people with masks, and on the Euro news, we could see people, you know, the scare in Italy of you know, rising cases, and everyone in my orchestra and myself, we were all kind of, are we out of place? Should we be wearing masks? Like, what's going on at home? So when we immediately got back, we only had 1 week of school left until Leo Varadkar announced that there'll be a lockdown. And myself and the teachers, all my friends, we all thought that this would only last about, you know, a week or two. We'll be back in action. And, you know, we have our practicals. We know we should, you know, get ready for an oral exams. But no, like, a week went by, another week went by, no sign of, you know, going back to school. And I guess, you know, more and more we started to question, was the Leaving Cert going to happen? And like this year, of course, as well, you know, we were questioning it. And thankfully, of course, there was transparency and we eventually got our answers regarding the practicals, whereby they would be either cancelled or the marks would be given. And then later on, we found out throughout the summer that, you know, the whole exam would be put on to predicted grades. So, but we didn't find out about that until June. However, whilst we were kind of worrying about this, I, you know, took upon myself to, you know, be productive. And, you know, whilst I was bored, I figured out that, you know, a bit is good to do, like, you know, we can do things during this time, be it, you know, maybe, and it wasn't to do with school stuff. A lot of it was actually, you know, where I wanted to self-improve and, you know, do some new things as well. So me being a musician and my family, very musical, we decided to kind of collaborate and make a string quartet. And we wanted to be a bit more different because I know my dad would always joke that we can't just keep playing dead people music all the time, like Mozart and Beethoven, as amazing music that pieces they are. He wanted us to play more modern stuff. So we took upon ourselves to play like Billie Eilish, you know, Bad Guy, and Toxic, and all, and some film scores as well, which was really fun. And that allowed us to maybe do some. We went to a lot of nursing homes and played for them because outside, of course, where because I know it was very difficult for loads of different communities to kind of, you know, get interaction or even, you know, just do things that we normally enjoy. So we thought it would be very nice to, you know, play for them. And I think we did this 3 or 4 times during the summer, which was very nice.
So for
and the
you
weather
then,
was very
family,
amazing.
You could travel together because you were in that same, we'll call it a family
bubble. And, yes, yes. So, you know, it was perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then obviously you could practice together, and then you weren't even trying to do it over Zoom with anybody else or
time and delays. Like, we attempted to practice with my orchestra on Zoom, and it's an absolute disaster because we're not synced together.
Yes.
So, yes, definitely we had a huge advantage whereby we can practice at home and then travel around. And so, yeah, that was really enjoyable. And then also the fact that, you know, my parents, they got to work at home rather than having to go into town every single day, 5 days a week. So that was, we got to, you know, and I know this is not only for me, but for many people. I got to spend way more time with my parents than I normally would have. We got to spend every lunch, breakfast, and dinner with them. And
I'm sure that wasn't all good now, Ruan.
Oh no, yeah, of course, yeah, no, like, you know, of course, I'm surprised we haven't torn each other's heads off.
Yeah,
of course.
But I think what most people have found, Ruan, like, you know, whilst it can be challenging, you know, living together, you know, during something like this, and naturally enough, it wouldn't be human if sparks didn't fly from time to time. But a lot of people have actually realised, you know, that maybe a lot more in common with their brothers and sisters and their parents, and lots more interest, you know, that they've kind of found a new level, because sometimes we were all a bit too busy and running here and running there away from one another, you know, rather than being with one another. It was kind of like, as you know, as my mother used to say one time, you're treating this place like a hotel, you know, it was totally like in and out and gone again. So I don't think any of us can be accusing anyone anymore of that. You're definitely more together. How did you find it, like, did you find new things in common and work together a bit closely
on
things?
I think my sisters and I have always, like, before lockdown, we get on quite well, but I think we didn't really understand each other's boundaries in terms of, like, you know, or not boundaries, but, like, you know, we'd always be at each other. And of course we are at each other nowadays, but I think we have way more respect for each other in terms of, like, you know, where we'd, I think it's much easier to say we get on far better than we used to. It's kind of hard to hone in on how or why. It's more, I think we've began to appreciate each other way more, and, you know, just respect each other, even though, yes, we, you know, and we love taking the mick out of each other, and that's the spirit of being siblings. But, like, I think before lockdown it was way more, we just tolerate each other, we don't really we don't spend as much time, because I noticed as well during lockdown we played way more board games and stuff like that, and I can see, like, how competitive we can all be, and I think that's really good. Whereas before we weren't playing board games with each other, we were mostly just hanging out with our friends, or being on our own, and not really spending as much time with our siblings as normal. So, but yeah,
brilliant. Yeah, no, it is good, and it's good to acknowledge. I think a lot of people have acknowledged that, but I'm sure, like, that doesn't, as the saying goes, that doesn't mean it's all happy families every day, and that's for sure. And I'm sure some people are in more difficult circumstances. But
oh, definitely.
Yeah, but now, so just get on to the string quartet. You went to nursing homes with it. Obviously, great fun together then and stuff
it.
So what else did you get up to last summer?
So last summer, I also did a lot of gardening with my dad. And then I also took up this book that kind of changed my worldview completely.
Tell me more.
It's 12 Rules for Life from Jordan Peterson. And before I read it, I kind of knew a bit about Jordan Peterson. I knew he was quite a controversial figure. He's a lecturer in university in Canada. And I knew he was quite controversial due to the fact that he has given many different point of views on the world and how people should live. And after reading his book, I'd highly suggest, and how I read his book was through Audible. And I think Audible is an amazing site. And I've listened to loads of books throughout the summer when I was walking around. But I think this one was the most poignant book that I read. I think it changed my whole view on things during the summer. And that was one of my main openings.
Mm-hmm. In what way, Ruan?
In what way? Some of the rules are very basic, but I think really, no matter what, I didn't know what was going to happen out of the Leaving Cert. So I thought after reading this book, no matter what I did, I'd be happy. So some of the rules are as basic as, rule number one, sit up straight with your shoulders back. And yes, it's a very, you know, basic one, but he says, like, when you're, it's more of like, be confident no matter what you're doing, and, you know, be, you know, try and be as like, you know, present yourself in the best way you can, and people will, you know, people in society will, you know, gravitate towards you. And there's some other rules, like rule number five, whereby, you know, make sure you have your house fully in order before you question the world. And by that he means, you know, make sure, you know, your personal not your personal problems, but just make sure, you know, you have your, you know, you make sure, you know, you're happy at home, things are going okay, and that, you know, you know, you're studying and you're, you know, being successful, or not being successful per se, but like, you know, you're working hard and things are going well before you start to question why things are the way they are in the world in terms of the government. And and he says these things because it just doesn't, you don't have a lot of legitimacy if you're trying to, you know, question why the things, like why things are the way they are. If you don't have your, well, not your house per se, but like, because I know we have a housing crisis in Ireland, but like, I won't go into that. But it's more like a lot of these rules, they're very psychological things, like that you want to make sure that in your mind you have set, and they really just try and improve the, improve your character. And I think they were, you know, I can go on for a while about lots of different rules that were very interesting.
No, but that just spoke to you. And hopefully...
Yeah, they spoke a lot to me, yeah.
As a student, you'll be even more curious to read lots of different books and lots of different viewpoints.
Oh, yes.
Which, is, I think, is the most critical thing, because I suppose the one golden rule, you know, if I can, you know, share it to anybody, is, you know, really read widely, you know, or listen widely, and whatever way you interpret the world. But having a narrow focus view of the world, you know, can be very challenging and kind of create a lot more challenges than opportunities. So for around your own health and well-being, Ruwan, what sort of things that did you do to keep fit, keep well, keep fresh air, do things like that? Because last summer wasn't too bad in the sense that I think we were allowed... You know, we were allowed to roam within Ireland anyway, weren't we, at that stage?
Yeah.
So what did you get up to?
So before the during school, we had a bike in the shed and I barely used it. And when lockdown hit in after a month, I realised I should really use this bike, you know, and I can go loads of places. And I didn't discovered during lockdown that I can cycle from where I live in Dunboyne, County Meath. I can cycle up to Dublin and back in less than an hour or two. And I did that with one or two of my friends, and it was the most fun I've had in and we just constantly cycled loads of places. We went to Maynooth, we cycled all the way to Dunleary, to the beach, and we cycled all the way back. And not only was it like very good in terms of health, but like it was just so refreshing. I don't know why it's just with cycling, you know, you can just see so much. And it's not like you know, I know walking is and running is also really good, but I think cycling, you get to just take in so much, and you can see so many different places in such a short span of time. And I
you
really enjoyed
cycling.
Cycling is brilliant.
Yeah, you can get a bit of distance in with the cycling.
Definitely,
as well.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you a very basic question about cycling, I suppose.
Yes.
How did you find, you know, cycling? You know, we see a lot of the ads on the television, you know, about keeping the distance and stuff like that. And I know around Dublin City, there always has been, you know, there has been a lot of improvement around cycle lanes. And even during last summer, I think there was a lot of work done on cycle lanes and stuff. So how did you find the experience of sharing the road with a lot of other users? How did you experience that?
I felt very safe. I felt safer cycling than I did walking for some reason. I just thought, because the route I take to get into town, you'd go through, through my village up to Blanchardstown, where as soon as you hit Blanchardstown, we were always on a pedestrian cycle lane. And then when we got to Blanchardstown, we were on pedestrian cycle lane again, all the way up until we hit Phoenix Park, where we didn't, from Blanchardstown to Phoenix Park, we didn't see a single car, which was very interesting.
Wow.
There's a cycle route that you can take along the canal, which was amazing. And then when we got along to when we got to Phoenix Park, of course, Phoenix Park is, you know, full of cycle lanes everywhere. And when we got to town, it's a very smooth transition from a cycle lane in the Phoenix Park to a cycle lane into Dublin. And you are along the cars. However, they can never get onto your cycle lane. And it feels really safe. And I think all you need to do is look out for the traffic lights. And I think we do that no matter if you're in a car or walking or cycling. And I think, and you can go on that route all the way up until the very edge of the Docklands. And, at first I was very hesitant to cycle into town, but my friends insisted that it is really smooth and safe. So I tagged along with them. And lo and behold, it was one of the most enjoyable cycles you could ever take. And it feels really safe. Because I think that was my main kind of doubt. Because when I heard I could cycle to Blanchardstown, I was worried about, oh, I don't want to go cycling along in the motorway. It just doesn't know. Or, you can't, that was kind of like my misconception of the whole thing. But no, it's super safe and very smooth and very... And I think there's a lot more that I can see I haven't visited that have, you know, I know they have built a brand new kind of bridge for cyclists that I haven't yet to see in town that I'd love to see. And I guess I'll get to do that during this summer, hopefully.
Brilliant. No, and it's great because, you know, one of those things, as I suppose, is developing a new skill or a hobby. And I think, I think one of the misconceptions we all have that sometimes you kind of feel as if you're not doing something from the time you're in school, you don't take up stuff, So very much so, you very much can take up a new hobby or an interest at any time of your life. But anything that the earlier you begin something, obviously, it's great, but then you may not always maintain it. But it's very interesting now that you're kind of thinking, you know, what other opportunities you will have maybe for cycling this summer and how might you stretch out your goals really there as well, do you know? So bringing us on to this summer, Ruan, what are your own thoughts now? We do know, well, listen, you know, we had a pre-chat before the show and we were talking about, listen, you know, it looks like that this summer we don't know what level of mobility we will all have, but I suppose we can work on an assumption that it may not be as open as we considered it to be, and it may not even be as open as it was last summer for us. You know, it could very well be. We'll always be hopeful. But what are your own thoughts about looking ahead for the summer now, Ruan?
Well, my first aim would be to get a part-time job. Like, I've noticed myself as a first-year university student that I may have missed out on a lot of experiences that I was supposed to have in first year. That doesn't mean I can still get them. And I feel like a part-time job is vital for myself. Maybe not for everyone, but I think myself, I'd love to get a part-time job as a waiter or, work in a shop or somewhere and, you know, get experience with customers and, you know, get... just, you know, like life experiences that, you know, I think that are, very important. And I'd love to work anywhere in my local area or in town. And thanks to cycling, I'll be able to get there and back in a nick of time as well.
Absolutely.
So, I'd love to, I think, my main aim is to get a part-time job. Mm. And
what about the string quartet now? Have you any plans on that?
Of course. We're still practicing it like every week with the string quartet, and we would love to play in more nursing homes this year than before. And we've been trying to expand our repertoire a lot more in terms of trying to play more modern pieces, because we've uploaded many of our videos on Facebook if you'd like to see on Bonham String Quartet. We've uploaded many of our pieces there, and we're trying to get as many modern songs as we can and try and really modernize ourselves, because I think that's the best kind of way to
can you bring us through the more relevant of doing something like that? But obviously you have to go and get the music for that, is it?
My mum loves transcribing them. She gets the music online and she pays the producers of the music.
Yeah.
And she might get arranged parts. So some of our pieces are a remix of three different songs from, what's his name? I can't remember his name, damn. But what we do is we do a remix of multiple songs, like pop songs, and we put it into one piece, and it's only like short snippet melodies of the songs that they've played. And and then of course we'd play some like right at the moment we're doing some Dvorak, which is quite tricky but really fun as well. So we kind of mix it old and with new, and I think a lot of our audiences from old to young will really enjoy it. And then, of course, another aim throughout the summer would be to, I have this ambition to try and get a DCU orchestra or a quartet and then snowball it into an orchestra in the second year. So
is this a call to action then, Ruan, you want to put out there?
Sorry?
Is this a call to action you want to put out there?
Oh, yes, I am looking to see if I can get, if anyone would be interested, I'd love to take you on board. If anyone at any skill level, I'd love to arrange a DCU orchestra. Because one thing I've noticed compared to all the other universities in Dublin is DCU hasn't had, or there is no active orchestra at the moment. Of course, because of COVID, but beforehand there wasn't an orchestra. And I'd love to try and snowball, you know, get a quartet and then snowball it into a string ensemble and then eventually an orchestra. And then we can compete with Trinity and UCD. And I think it would be one thing that we'd be very proud of throughout our lives in DCU. And even past pupils who play can also would be able to take part in, like, maybe at events during the final few days of semester or whatever.
So not only do you want the current DCU students, you're doing a call out to DCU alumni as well.
Yes, of course. Brilliant. Yeah, everyone. Okay. Yeah, anyone who has, like, I'd love, because I think one thing I to get an orchestra, you need a conductor. And even if, you know, students are studying to, like, you know, practicing to become conductors, or even past students and alumni who may be interested in becoming a conductor of an orchestra, well, I'd love to get in contact and try and, you know, get the ball rolling. So, yeah, that's definitely what one of my aims, not only in this year, but in the future, in my future kind of studies in DCU.
Brilliant. So that'd be, I mean, if you could get the ball rolling, for want of a better word, on that this summer.
Yes.
And start start getting something going. So for you, obviously you're going to still, you'll be hopefully working, you'll be cycling,
yes,
with the string quartet. Anything else for you? Not that I'm saying you should, but just before we finish up, I just want to check in. Any other goals for this summer?
I think, I would like to get more politically active, I think, as well. I love politics, and I think that's evident in what I'm studying. And I think I'd love to kind of branch out and maybe take part in more political activities, campaigning with candidates, listening into more how they're campaigning, and try and look at political parties and, you know, have a look at what their, you know, their manifestos, and try and,
get
to grasp of what they want to aim. Because I think that's one thing as a political student is and what a lot of students in my class are kind of questioning is what political party, or where, you know, should you be loyal to one, or should, you know, where do I, align myself? And I think like now more than ever, you know, political parties and, you know, the political sphere in Ireland and in Europe, it, you know, a lot of things are put into question. I think it's very important that we take part in these, you know, processes. So I think I would love to become more politically active throughout Ireland and in Europe as well.
So just to let you know, and any of the listeners know, our DCU students, on the career service module on Loop, we held a three-session career showcase for international relations and politics students. And we have three really good sessions there. And we brought people like Andrew Montague on, Ruth Coppinger on, and Fintan Phelan. And they've explained their political career stories to date, the highs and lows, the things that you can do. We've had Women for Election on there as well. So loads of powerful stuff there. I know DCU Politics Society have had run fantastic events as well this year.
Yes, yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah, and it's really, really good. So there was great appetite out there, Ruan. So absolutely have a good dig in on those resources. There's some excellent talks there, and you can get them there on the cloud recordings. So really, I think it's one of the most useful things you can do for yourself if you're interested in politics, is if you get an opportunity, is to see what's going on the doorsteps with people. And that's
definitely
the key advice that has come from those who are currently politically active or have been politically active in the past. So that's absolutely fantastic. Ruan, thank you so much for coming on and sharing today.
Thank you. It's been an honour.
Oh, it's been so, it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely to talk to you. It's been lovely to hear kind of some of the, I suppose that you've had, you started off with great challenges in sixth year. You took on certain things, you know, and some of them, as you say, quite ordinary things. You know, you literally, what's that phrase? You got on your bike and you got going. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? So, and sometimes it's the small things that do make, and can make a long-term difference to your life, you know. You know,
definitely,
getting
yeah.
fit, getting well, good connection with family, good connection with friends. All the things are powerfully important. And then, yes, you did something maybe a little bit more unusual than others around the string quartet, but other people will have different gifts, different talents, and they will focus on them. So thank you so much for sharing that with
us
today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Brilliant.